From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Saturday morning, rainy Saturday morning on 94 WIP. I'm Glenn Mack, now joined by Mike Sielski. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing wonderful, Glenn. How are you?
Nice. Doing nice. Big weekend for sports here. By the way, we expect to be on until 12:30, at which point we hand it off to Phillies baseball. Phillies against the Nats, the first part of a day-night doubleheader. Kind of iffy right now.
I think... iffy is a kind way to describe the weather situation in this country right now.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens in Washington. You know what they should have done?
Tell me.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
Yes.
They had 26 people in the seats.
I've seen more people at Little League baseball games than were at that Phillies Nationals game yesterday.
You know how in the NFL, when the weather threatens a situation, they'll just move it to a different stadium?
Yeah, they should have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere, I don't know where. Some place where the skies are clear.
Yeah, anywhere. Throw it in a gymnasium for all we care. Just get the game in.
The big story this weekend, of course, is Eagles-Jags tomorrow. The return of Doug Peterson with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you and I had an interesting talk yesterday. I want to start with that because you described this as a, quote, telltale game. Explain what that means and why.
So, to me, more than any other game the Eagles have played so far, this is going to give you a really good indication of how far they've come from last season. And here's why. We've discussed endlessly the fact that they performed poorly against really good quarterbacks last season, that they couldn't stop Tom Brady or Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes, et cetera, et cetera. So far this season, this is the matchup that comes as close to what they were dealing with and couldn't handle last year.
Mm-hmm.
In Doug Peterson, a head coach who knows how to coach offense, who is smart, who can scheme stuff up, and Trevor Lawrence, who I feel like is reminding people this season why he was the number one overall pick. It's like people forgot that this guy was supposed to be the number one prospect since Andrew Luck, since Peyton Manning, your favorite quarterback.
Well, last year it was the most disastrous situation you could imagine going in with Urban Meyer, who may go down as the worst coach in the history of pro football, and they were 3-14 last year. And he, his rookie season was a disaster. I hear you. Doug comes in and kind of gets him back on track. He's looked very good through those three games. They had an impressive win against the Chargers last week. Chargers had a lot of injuries, but nonetheless. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good test. That's even more than as much as we kind of looked forward to the Vikings game and Monday Night Football and Kirk Cousins and all of that. And even as impressive as they were last year in beating Carson Wentz, and Washington, this to me, they win convincingly Sunday, and okay, we can really talk about how good they can be.
All right, I'll give you another arrow for your quiver, and then I'll disagree with part of it. The other part of it that I think will be interesting tomorrow is Mike Caldwell is their defensive coordinator now. Mike Caldwell was with Tampa Bay last year when they beat the Eagles twice. Mike Caldwell has done very well against the Eagles offense, so the Jaguars are a team that is top 10 in the NFL in both offense and defense right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. The season is young. I don't think we really know who teams are yet. And it may include the Eagles a little bit, but with Jacksonville, a young team. And here's the thing where I think the Eagles will have an easier time of it. Ebb and flow. Jacksonville coming off a big, big win against the Chargers. Little full of themselves. Had to fly across the country to play out in L.A., fly back. I don't know what the weather was down there with the hurricane, but I imagine it was rough in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And then they have to fly here and play.
Circumstances are not in their favor.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rough spot.
You could be right. I just, looking at it on paper, I think Trevor Lawrence is showing everybody who he really is as a quarterback.
A young quarterback, though.
You know,
Still susceptible. Come on, Jonathan Gannon. He's all over them.
All of a sudden, you're the world's biggest Jonathan Gannon fan.
I am not, but we all have to be impressed with what they did last week against Washington, what they did against Minnesota, and you know the last two games, that defense has been exactly what you want it to be.
Exactly, especially in that first half last week. I mean, that was exactly what you would have thought would happen in harassing Wentz and forcing two fumbles and sacking him however many times they sacked him in the first half on the way to nine in the game. It was exactly what you and Jonathan Gannon himself would want to see from that defense.
215-592-9494. By the way, best caller of the day gets a $50 gift card to Shy Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Visit them in their Center City location or shibesports.com. All right, Mike, now I got a question for you. The Eagles are so much better than they were last year, so much better, I think, than we really expected them to be. Again, we're through three games, and, you know, the old axiom is that you look at the NFL season kind of four games at a time. I don't know where we work in the 17th game at this point, but
4.25
or
four
games in the first quarter of the next game. But,
yeah.
But I kind of believe that. So as excited as I am, I still want to see more. But Mike, oh God, I used to do this to Ray. I'm looking forward to the next 30 seconds. I haven't had the opportunity to do this for a while.
Let me get my yellow legal pad and my khaki pants ready.
Oh, I have a great Ray story. I'm gonna digress and tell you a great Ray story.
Okay.
So Ray's over in Great Britain. Ray and his wife are visiting
Big
England,
Ben,
Scott, Wales. Yeah, all that stuff, right?
Look, kids, Big Ben.
And when he comes back, he has he's going to be given a speech. He's got some whatever. And he decided on the long flight, he wanted to write his thoughts out, you know, in his beautiful handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that he packed his yellow legal pads in his suitcase and did not have access to it. So, I should post a photo. I have a photo of Ray Dinger's.
I want to guess. Can I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have not told me the story yet. He didn't write the remarks on, like, the back of the doggy bag, did he?
They don't give you doggy bags on a plane, but what do they give you?
I'm trying to remember what it was.
Air sickness.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's what you were thinking.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So doggy bag's a nice way to play.
He wrote his
speech on
the vomit bag?
Yes. I'll tweet out the picture of it.
Oh, my gosh, right.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, so Mike Steelski.
Yes.
We agree the Eagles are way ahead of where we thought they would be so far.
Mm-hmm.
This is a better team than we were expecting. Mike, there is one and only one correct answer to the reason why the Eagles are so much better than we anticipated them to be. Mike, can you tell me the correct answer?
All right. So I wrote this at the beginning of the season, that the offensive line, first and foremost, is the reason to think they're going to be good. But the offensive line was terrific last season, and they were a 9-8 team.
We knew that.
So to me, this is me just guessing the way you're thinking, I would argue the addition of A.J. Brown and the wide receivers.
Mike, you are absolutely correct.
Oh, look at me. You got it.
I read a piece in, of all places, your old paper, the Wall Street Journal, this week.
Yes, yes, yes.
And thanks to David Kay for sending it to me, the guy who emailed it to me, and that bastion of sports coverage. And it was comparing the Eagles and the Dolphins. This is before Thursday night when Tua got knocked out. But the Dolphins similarly have been a better team, and it's because they have this explosive passing game all of a sudden. And like the Eagles, they invested heavily in bringing in a new wide receiver. For the Eagles, of course, it's A.J. Brown, and the passing game went from being a liability to a strength. Hurts is averaging 9.4 yards a throw.
Yes.
An attempt. The receivers are averaging 14.9 yards per reception. They were the most run-heavy offense in the league last year. They made a very, and this is, you know, listen, this is Howie.
Mm-hmm.
They made this conscious decision. We're going to trade our first-round pick to get A.J. Brown. This is after they spent their first-round pick last year on Devontae Smith. They're throwing all their chips into wide receiver, and it's the unstoppable A.J. Brown.
It's interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's such a departure from the way they used to think, right? Like Howie grew up as a player personnel guy at Andy Reid's knee and Joe Banner's knee. And what was their philosophy?
If I may say it, wide receivers are irrelevant.
Exactly. Exactly. We can have James Thrash and Todd Pinkston and Charles Johnson and Torrance Small because what matters is the quarterback and the offensive line.
Give me the shakes here, Mike.
Yeah, sorry. We go in the way back machine for those names. But the reverse is true now. I mean, the sport has changed. The offense has opened up because of rule changes and things like that. And this is true around the league. You see teams more and more spending either high draft picks or a lot of money under the salary cap to go get game-breaking wide receivers. And the Eagles are following suit, and it's working.
Right. Dolphins go out and get Tyreek Hill after they have Jalen Waddle draft first last year. Mm-hmm. Eagles kind of do a very similar thing. These two teams are two very good teams this year. I don't really want to focus on the Dolphins too much, but A.J. Brown had 224 yards in the first 2 weeks, added 85 last week. Devontae Smith, 8 catches, 169 yards. You can't stop them.
No,
and then you had Quez Watkins, and you had Dallas Goedert, and you can't cover them.
And they're throwing to Zach Pascal on third down.
Right, Zach Pascal, right.
You know,
pretty good.
And to me, Devontae is the interesting factor in that. And you saw it last week against Washington, where an opposing defense has to put its second-best cornerback on Devontae Smith. And that makes all the difference in the world. It really does.
And I think it's something we really can look forward to. And it has taken the position of quarterback from something that was very iffy before the season, I don't know if Hurts can do it, and put him in the position where he can succeed.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was spending time with friends last night, and we were discussing this over a few drinks and food and things like that, and it became that chicken or egg debate question. You know, is it Hurts or is it the pieces around him? And what we're seeing, I think, is that under certain conditions, Jalen Hurts can be an incredibly productive quarterback in this league. Going forward, I think the question is, can the Eagles continue to create these kind of ideal conditions around them? That's an open question because they're eventually, and it's becoming clearer and clearer, they're going to have to pay him him here.
Well, we will get into that certainly as the season progresses. Let me sneak in a call here, and then I want to talk about the return of Doug Peterson. Chris in Clinton, New Jersey, what's on your mind, Chris?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
All right.
Hey, Chris.
One quick aside to start. Glenn, I was really excited to do the Last Man Standing pool this year. I always forget week one. And, of course, I got knocked out right away because the Niners couldn't take care of the Bears.
Yeah, that one took out a lot of people. That's good. I'm not involved in it anymore, but I'm glad they're still doing it and that you, you're in for a week. Anyway,
what are
you thinking about today?
I mean, I wanted to talk about the run defense against the Jags, but just to continue talking about the wide receivers, they're two different types of elite receivers. You know, A.J. Brown looks like Leonard Weaver out there when he's trying to get tackled by defensive backs, carrying them as an excellent protection receiver.
Talk about a throwback reference.
I thought Torrance Small was a great pull, and Chris is coming out with Leonard Weaver. That's awesome.
Well, so, I mean, I wish Leonard Weaver was around for longer. He got injured quickly. Yeah. He's the last fullback we had, you know?
I love a good fullback. Love a good fullback.
Well, anyway, and Devontae Smith, I mean, I don't care that he didn't get his foot down. That catch along the sidelines was one of the best things I've seen by an Eagles receiver in years, you know? So they're two different types of elite on the outside, and it is the reason that this offense looks different. But for tomorrow, I'm a little bit concerned about the run defense against James Robinson as kind of a bigger back, and then Etienne as a receiving back out of the backfield. I know that they didn't have great run defense against the Lions week one, and then last week I thought Antonio Gibson had a few good runs, and then Carson Wentz would just ruin the drive right after that. So I wanted to get your thoughts there.
Yeah, look, I think Doug Peterson is still Doug Peterson, and when push comes to shove, he's going to want to throw the ball. And while Robinson and Etienne, as you said, are really good backs and have been productive so far through the first three games, I think Doug is Doug, and he's going to put the ball in the hands of Trevor Lawrence, and that's what this game is going to come down to.
Be interesting to see how the weather affects that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
And a lot of coaches, it's like, I don't care if it's raining and 30-mile-an-hour gales, we're still throwing it, but sometimes that does push you toward the run. Speaking of Doug, he comes back tomorrow. I don't know why I said next year. He comes back tomorrow.
That would be breaking news.
Yeah, no, he comes back tomorrow, and he got hired to bring a horrible team to respectability. They have double-digit losses in 10 of their last 11 seasons.
That's amazing.
They've been awful. There's been a lot of talk this week, what kind of reception is he going to get? Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, right, okay, who I've generally respected, said they're going to boo him.
No.
Nobody's going to boo him.
No, there's absolutely no chance that he gets booed. He's going to get a standing ovation, and he will deserve it because he is the only Super Bowl win coach in this franchise's history. He was publicly, at least, and privately often, a very amiable, good guy.
Mm-hmm.
People liked him. He ran the Philly special. I mean, let's be honest here. This is Doug Peterson is one of the all-time heroes in Philadelphia sports, and I think people are going to treat him accordingly tomorrow.
I think so, too. And you talked about his relationship with the fans was great. His relationship with the players was great. Travis Kelce was on with the morning show.
Jason Kelce.
I don't know what I'm doing today. Jason Kelce was on with the morning show earlier this week and talked about how Doug listened to Foles, how Doug was flexible, how this is the essence of Doug Peterson. Let's play that.
Doug was awesome, man. The biggest thing that I really loved about Doug was he really empowered his players. I don't know many coaches on fourth down in the Super Bowl, but Nick Foles comes up to him and asks him to run a trick play. He's like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it. You know, that was kind of who he was. And that was one of his biggest strengths. And I really appreciate Doug for being that guy when he was here. And you see it already happening in Jacksonville.
I think that's great. And I think it's so accurate.
I do, too. And the other aspect of Doug that makes him lovable, I guess you'd say, to Philadelphia fans is that there's an underdog quality to him, right? He had never been a head coach before.
Mm-hmm.
He was replacing Chip Kelly, who was supposed to be this genius. And, oh, Doug is only coming in because he's someone who Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman can control. And in this one season, he unfurls a coaching performance that is as good or better than any in this town's sports history. It just is. The reason they win that Super Bowl, to me, has always been the way Doug coached that team the entire season. They were ready for that moment
mm-hmm.
because of how daring they had been.
Fearless.
You know, throughout the entire year.
Fearless. And, you know, I remember when it's fourth and one at the end of the first half, and I'm not going to put this on Merrill because I think we were all kind of this way. Like, I don't know, you know, mm-hmm. it's a good time. Go for that field goal. Go into the locker room with those points. And most coaches, I think, against Belichick
mm-hmm.
are going to get too conservative. And Doug, hey, big balls, man.
Yeah. That's it, Glenn. That's the way an opposing team, when you're facing the Patriots in a Super Bowl, that's the way you have to play, and that's the way you have to coach. And the Eagles were ready for that moment because they had played and coached that way the entirety of that season.
I think that's a great point, and I think the other part of it is kind of what Kelce was referring to, which is as ballsy as he was, Doug also had humility mm-hmm. in that he would listen to the other coaches.
Yep.
He would listen to his players. He was open to Nick Foles saying, hey, this crazy play that we've been doing in practice, mm-hmm. let's run this in the Super Bowl. Most NFL coaches, Mike, I'm going to break news to you here. You probably don't know this. Most NFL coaches don't have a lot of humility. Don't know if you've ever dealt with any of them before in your life.
I don't know what you're talking about,
Glenn. Tried to ask a question
Glenn.
In a yeah. news conference and gotten that look that we've all gotten in news conferences.
The Jim Mora, you don't know. You think you know, but you don't know.
Most of those guys, and great, you know, the from the great ones like Belichick and mm-hmm. Parcells and so on, to the ones who aren't great, like Kotite.
Yeah.
They have a general haughtiness toward everyone. And I'm not really just talking about the media, although the media is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Doug had humility. Doug was a guy, which, by the way, I think Nick's the same way.
Yeah, I do too. And
it serves him well.
It does, especially in the modern athlete and the modern state of sports nowadays. I think it's harder and harder for any coach in any pro sport to be the taskmaster that we like to think, or some of us like to think, a coach has to be. You see a team that isn't disciplined and you say to yourself, oh, well, is the coach being tough enough on his team? Is he demanding more of his team? You know, nowadays, with money that these players make, with their backgrounds, immersing themselves in the sport from the time they're little kids, being that kind of hardcore coach doesn't necessarily resonate anymore. You've got to have credibility. And the way you build credibility often with the modern athlete nowadays is by saying, yeah, I feel where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand what you're going through, and here's how we can work together to make this work for the entire team.
And just being a human being.
Yeah.
NFL coaches have odd lives. They live in their office. They don't, I mean, you know, we've all talked to him from Vermeil. I remember I once did a profile on Joe Gibbs when mm-hmm. he was coaching Washington. And Joe Gibbs used to basically have his PR guy or whatever drive to his house each week and get a cassette tape of his wife telling him what he was missing in the house and play it on the car as he was driving around practice. And that was how he kept in touch with his family.
Yeah, yeah. The old story that Vermeil would always tell about the fireworks going off in 1976 during the bicentennial.
What is this about?
Yeah, tell him to turn it off.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Dick, it's the 200th birthday of the country.
Right. Doug's a guy. Doug's a regular guy, and I appreciate him for that. One last thing about Doug. We'll take the first break. 215-592-9494. Best caller of the day gets a $50 gift card to Scheib Gift Sports, or Scheib Vintage Sports. Doug was asked this week, I think your colleague Jeff McClain asked him, what does he think of the statue of him and Foles at the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, never seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You buying that?
I buy
a statue of Mike Sielski somewhere. Don't you think you'd like stop by and take like?
I would steal it and put it in the foyer of my house. Do I think he's never seen it? I'm sure he has seen it. Whether he's actually been to the statue and been a foot away from it and marveled at it up close,
yeah, I don't mean a photograph. I'm sure he saw a photograph as they were putting it up, but there's a statue of him at the stadium.
Yeah.
He was there. He was coaching the team when that statue went up. Never walked by and said, yeah, they made my nose a little
He may be fudging the truth a little bit. But the fact that he, let me put it this way, Glenn, the fact that he would say, I've never seen it, tells you a little something about him, even if he has.
Yeah, it does. All right. 215-592-9494. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack now. Phillies, Washington, coming up at 1 o'clock today. We will keep you kind of apprised as to whether that game's going on. Oh, coming up, my least favorite part of the show.
My favorite part of the show.
Yeah, what are we doing?
Could it be reviewing the status of our stupid football bet?
Indeed it is. WIP Sports Time is 10:22.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.